The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the Memorial Day summer kickoff is on. Get massive savings all month long. And remember, it's backed by Morse. You can also save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. And there's also special financing available. See the dealer for details and visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, it's official. Summer's here and the savings are heating up. Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, has the Memorial Day summer kickoff. Take advantage of holiday offers all month long, like 2018 XT5 crossovers, just $299, zero down. But that's not all. Get 0% financing 60 months on all new Cadillac models. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. Remember, that's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right, happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We're recording at One Buck Palace with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I am here, Steve Isbitz, with Lee DeKemper. We're Joe Bucks fan. We're your guys. And how was Memorial Day? What was your plans for this weekend, Sage?
My wife said, let's go dancing. I said, I got a cold. See, that's where the cold comes right in. Boom. Sore throat, cold. I don't have a sore throat, but she did take me dancing. I think we went to Ybor City.
Uh-oh.
Nice little dinner, nice little dancing. You know what? Once in a while, it's nice to limber up those muscles, Lee.
Did Very you go to the Columbia?
No Columbia.
Okay, and your wife wasn't running around with these wooden shoes?
No. We did that. We had a guest come in, and then we took him to the flamingo dance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did.
Is there video? That's really the most important question.
There's absolutely
question.
No video. Everything's been squelched.
You know what, Ira? Someone's going to have to dig it up. I think it was after the Tribune shut down.
Oh.
I believe there was video of you and your wife dancing at a party in Tampa.
I think it was at Skipper's.
Yes, Skipper's.
It was at
outside.
The Skipper
it was right
Dome.
Outside. It was like on a sidewalk. And you and your wife were
dancing.
Well,
no. It's an outdoor stage.
Yeah. And you were dancing your worries away because you had yet to be hired by JoeBucksFan.com.
I think you're right. That's outstanding.
That is a classic video.
That video has been, in terms that you can understand, cleansed. That video has been cleansed.
Cleansed? What do you mean? You cleaned it up? It was dirty dancing?
Unretrievable.
Unretrievable.
You deleted that?
I didn't do anything. I think people out of, care for, they don't want to get people mentally unhinged. Those are the people that said, we must expunge this from the public
airwaves. I thought all these divorcees that listen to your podcast are going to get all sweatied up talking about Patrick Swayze.
Now, what'd you think of my dance moves? That's the question. You know, there was, who was on? I'm trying to think.
You're light on your feet, Ira.
as light as a 300-pounder can be over there. I'm trying to remember the band that was on stage. It might have been Johnny G. Lyon.
I thought maybe it's Bob Dylan.
No. All right, go ahead. What do you got for us?
Speaking of mentally unhinged, your podcast is available Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. This is where you can subscribe to it, listen to it, love it, enjoy it, do all the things that you do. Get a nice free alert, leave a review. Ira loves to hear all that stuff. Now, Ira, look, it's OTA type of season. A lot of fans out there are still crying about the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're, waiting for real football. It's underwear football. There's not much going on. Give listeners a little idea of what we deal with here. We're out at OTAs. And, first half hour, the Buccaneers kindly open it up for pictures and video, and they're stretching and going through basic drills, things that you could do, Ira, as a man light on your feet. And then we can't share after that, video, pictures. And then a lot of the time they were playing 11-on-11 against each other today in no pads. The guys are all lined up with their backs to the media, so you really can't even get a great look at everything.
I got a very simple answer for you, Steve. And this is something even Lee DeKemper can understand. And this tells you all you need to know. I catch Mike Smith as he's walking off the field a few days ago. This is after the OTA sessions. And I grab him and I say, hey, I just spent 2 days in Atlanta, coach, and your old stomping grounds. I'll tell you, your traffic is awful. It's worse than people imagine. He goes, I know, Ira, I know. I said, Jeff Schultz from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution says hello, gives you his best regards. Oh, Jeff's good man. He can be a little sarcastic, but he's a good man. And then I look at Mike Smith and I go, how do you boys look out there, coach? Smith looks at me. He shrugs his shoulders and he goes, it's OTAs, Ira. It's OTAs. Next question. That tells you all you need to know, Lee. You know, people who are putting depth charts together. Oh. This is a starting lineup. You got guys who aren't even here. You know, all of a sudden, yeah, what are you going to do? Not put Pierre Paul in the starting lineup? It's crazy.
Somebody's putting together a Bucks depth chart already?
Yeah, a Bucks depth chart going on already. You know, insight into a Bucks starting lineup. Come on now.
What next, Ira? Is there going to be a mock draft for 2019?
Things are going to get interesting because we're about 2 weeks away from mandatory minicamp. Keyword is mandatory. You don't show up, you're liable to be fined. You're going to be fined. You got to show up. It's not voluntary. If somebody doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, they better have a damn good excuse. Better. We don't want to hear any Jason Pierre-Paul's not here or Deshaun Jackson.
Somebody's got a hangnail.
Yeah, you got to show up. And then they ditch this place. They go to all parts of the world, you know, for what, about 5 weeks?
All corners of the
globe.
All
corners of the globe, even Coach Cutter, I think, usually goes back to Pocatello. Spends a couple of weeks.
Light hightails it to Central America.
Light hightails it, maybe go see his dad in Nebraska. Hey, Pop, I'm home.
Got some corn?
Get away, Jason. We ain't got no time for you. And everybody scatters. And then they come back in late July. You know, McCoy with the kimono coming in. We'll see what he's got.
Which
this
fans
year.
Love to death.
Fans love. And we'll see. But anyway.
All right. Look, you gave us
what
a wonderful
to say is,
insight.
Stop reading it. Stop trying to read into OTAs.
You give us A-plus insight from your side-by-side chat. Off Mike Smith sweating his balls off. He's after practice and he stops.
I'm looking for insight.
He stops to talk insight. With the sage. He could be getting a drink. He's sweating all over you. You give us great insight from the coach, and then you start reading the calendar. Come on, what is this? We all know
what
what's going on.
What I'm trying to
here.
Say is that every Buck fan is starting to feel the juice. They're starting to feel it. They're already thinking about week one in Superdome and our great fan retreat, which you'll be talking about shortly. Steve, you don't need much reason to start talking about fan retreat. You've come up with some of the greatest segues we've ever seen over here. So, Lee, the more I'm thinking about that New Orleans game, and you got to tell me where I'm wrong here. The more I'm thinking about it, look, they had one hell of a team last year. They should have beat
New Orleans.
They
okay.
should have beat Minnesota without question.
Yeah, they
with
choked.
That crazy play yes. at the end. Now, could they go into Philly and beat Philly? Probably not, but they got a puncher's chance with Breeze. Atlanta played them tough.
You have no chance if you don't play.
You know, New Orleans had a heck of a team. But what I'm saying is, and I know Steve's going to say, well, Mark Ingram's not going to play. They got a heck of a team. No reason to think they're not going to be very good in 2018. But the more I think about it, Lee, what a tremendous opportunity. That's the way. In fact, I mentioned that to one of the Buck players. I'm going to write about it. We're not afraid of New Orleans. We respect New Orleans. We're not afraid of them. What a chance to make a statement, Lee, with this newfangled defensive line. You couldn't ask for a better place to make your bones, so to speak.
So what you're saying is Buck fans can already taste the gumbo they want the football season.
Well, when it comes to gumbo, you are the expert. Because you're going to New Orleans.
Of course.
Hizbitz is not.
No, he won't go there.
You know, Hizbitz
one of the best towns
going
in
to
America.
See Bette Midler at the Mahaffey Center. But you're coming with me to the Crescent City, and you're coming with me the night before the game, right, to see all the stick areas.
I'm actually coming in on Thursday, believe it or not.
Oh, you'll be at that gumbo shop right off the bat.
Minutes.
Right off the bat.
Minutes from the time the plane lands.
Steve, you got a problem with the Crescent City? You don't want any part of New Orleans?
All right, what'd you get out of Mike Smith?
See,
anything
I
good there? Wait, come on.
I told you. When I asked him about who looks good and how do your boys look, he goes, it's OTAs, Ira. He dismissed the whole
All right, nothing
object.
Else. All right. That's fine. You
and
know.
That, to me, tells you all you need to know about OTAs.
It really does. I do chat with any the last OTA was what we're talking about, which happened on Thursday. Did you get in front of any players? Any
nuggets?
I talked to Bo Allen.
In front of any players.
Because I hadn't talked to Bo Allen when he had the press conference after they signed
him. Oh, okay.
And so I got him today. He's a good talker. He's a good gabber.
A little nugget, Ira, that I wrote up out of the OTA that I didn't tell you about. And, of course, it didn't publish yet based on when we're recording this. But you know what I saw at the end of practice? Dirk Cutter ran some gassers. He had his guys running some sprints after practice, which I haven't seen that in OTAs before. Have you, Lee?
No. As a matter of fact, the last time it happened that I could think of was training camp, and that was basically for punishment.
Didn't Cutter snap at Roy Cummings over that whole gasser thing? Wow. Wasn't that a whole...
Yes, it was.
I believe it was.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a one-liner, but you're right. You know, Roy asked him, and Cutter got bent out of shape, and those two went at it.
And that was actually one of our topics of discussion as it related to Hard Knocks, because there was a gasser scene in Hard Knocks, but you could tell that there was no media. It was not a media day or open. One of the, you know, they have two practices a day in training camp. One is a walkthrough-ish kind of thing. And whenever these sprints were, media never saw it. So it, clearly he was almost justified coming after Cummings saying, you don't know really what we're doing here. You know, hey, sometimes we run and we don't tell you, Roy. So that was interesting.
I think this is going to be one of the great questions heading into training camp, Lee. Steve thinks it's a moot point. It's a non-issue. But, you know, if Cutter wanted to have a more physical camp, could he do it?
Yeah.
Could he do it under the regulations, the restrictions?
Of course he could.
That the CBA put you under?
Of course he could. A physical camp doesn't mean they have to, you know, blast each other every play. Yeah, they can have a lot of physical.
Buck fans want to see physicality.
Well, Buck fans want to see wins. And, you know, as Steve points out many, 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 many times, you know, the fans that cry, you have to have an indoor facility. And Cutter saying you have to save your players. I learned it from Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio. Then you look across the state. Tom Coughlin takes over. Jaguars have a hard camp. Bucks are making fun of them in the inner squad practice because they're too hard. Well, what did the Jags do?
Boom,
what
they're almost in the Super Bowl.
Thank you. And what did the Bucks do? So, Bucks want to see wins. If that means you get wins by being physical, then you do it.
And the flip side, of course, Steve, somebody blows out a knee, an Achilles, and then we're all over the Bucks for saying, how could you let that happen? But you know what? If it's going to happen, it's going
to
happen.
Well, to your point.
That's my point.
To your point, Ira, and you know, knock wood, this doesn't happen. But already there's been two or three players that blown their knees out already in OTAs.
I noticed that. In OTAs.
Yeah, in OTAs. Yeah. You know, no physical, no touch,
absolutely,
underwear football. And they blew their knees out. So
happens every year. Happens every year. It's unfortunate. Yeah, you can be, I guess there's a nuance of you can be more physical, like you can run them into the ground. You know, that doesn't mean you're hitting somebody, but you could run 20 sprints a day and have these guys running laps and toughen them up that way. But it was interesting to see the sprints after practice. That was the point.
OTAs, yeah.
After the OTA. We hadn't seen that before that I could recall.
Closest thing I remember, it was kind of funny. It was during Shiano's days, of all things. I can't remember what they had the players doing. And Shiano basically said, okay, if Donald Penn can catch a punt, practice is over with. And they had the punt set up. Donald Penn caught the punt.
Have you guys noticed you've been at more OTAs than I have?
Well, Sage, let me tell you the story. There was a nugget here. When they called to do the sprint, Gerald McCoy is in front of the line. You know, they're lined up, a lot of guys across, pick a yard line, and they're going to start and sprint in waves. And Gerald McCoy, and this is very quickly happening, he starts barking at everybody either side, right to left, stay on the line. Don't go until the whistle, you know, use it as
a
way to build some discipline. It was a very short moment, but a pretty telling moment. I liked it.
You know, I was just about to ask you what before I was rudely interrupted by you because you had a nugget.
You know,
one time in 8 years, he's got a nugget, the Kemper.
Oh,
we
got
to hear
on.
About it. I was just going to ask you two guys who have been around OTAs, you notice any changes in Gerald McCoy's demeanor? Do you see any grudging recognition that, hey, maybe this is Quan's defense, anything like that? Anything about his recognition that they've really beefed up the guys around them on the defensive line? What do you notice, Lee?
Well, what I noticed, it wasn't so much on the field, it was off the field. What I mean by that is when he took the lectern the other day, and we happened to be speaking from the very same room, they call it the studio, as Buccaneers players and coaches when they have their press conference. And when he took the lectern last week, do you remember last year, this very same time when he took the lectern, his body language was pathetic. I mean, Jameis went right before him, and Jameis, you know, it was typical Jameis, man, we're back to practice, this is great, you know, and Jameis just couldn't contain himself with excitement. And Gerald McCoy was just the opposite.
This is last year. Last year.
Oh, you know, he drooped over the podium and moped, and players have told me I got to do
this. Is that when he talked about the Pro Bowl?
Yeah,
okay.
Players at the Pro Bowl.
I mean, I got to make more plays.
There couldn't have been a more drastic example of body language from Jameis and Gerald McCoy. This year was different. This year he was engaging, he was excited, he was ready to go, loved working with Buckner, talked about how Buckner basically said, we don't need Superman. He got upset, said, no, you mean Batman, not Superman. But a completely different person off the field. than last year. Like, so I'll never forget that. Just the opposite extremes of body language where Jameis, I mean, it was like a racehorse. He was ready to go, man. And Gerald McCoy was like droopy, like slumped over.
Maybe it's as simple as McCoy saying to himself, hey, I got some damn help up front this year. I got some help. They're going to help me.
I don't know. I don't even want to speculate. It's just hard to, you know, you never know what kind of day you catch him. One thing I thought was interesting, though, is last year he came out on opening day to the media on first day reporting back in April. That's when he talked about the Pro Bowl. And
we hadn't seen him since the end of the season.
And like Lee said, he slumped over the podium. This year, he waited a month to talk to any media. He really was disconnected. And maybe he wanted to feel it out first. You know, maybe he wanted, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But he does seem fired up. He was fired up at practice today. And, hey, it can only be good.
To both of your points, usually during underwear football, even during training camp, McCoy is cooperative coming off the field. When reporters want to talk to him, he might say, hey, let me go put my helmet away or let me do this real quick. I'll be back if he doesn't already stop. And he's very cooperative. Well, I noticed even, you know, weren't too many people asked him for comment, but Jenna Lane, of all people, and usually players, they have no issue with Jenna. They're always cooperative with Jenna, no matter what it seems. And Jenna was trying to get something from him, and Gerald was walking away, and he was kind of half apologizing, going, no, I got to do this, I got to do that. And just like, well, I only want you for this or that. And he kind of like, no. It wasn't like he was standoffish. It wasn't he was rude. It was almost like, I got something to do.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
And Noah Spence was the same way with me.
I think that's a bad thing. I think it's like, it's all about business now. Now it's about production. It's about business.
Noah Spence was the same way with me. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Noah's awesome, dude. And I was trying to talk to Noah about, hey, you know, he agreed to talk to me, but he wouldn't stop. He just kept walking. And unfortunately, today there was only about a 15-yard walk, so I could very little like get out of him. And he didn't really have any interest in talking. He agreed to talk, but it's like, I got things to do, dude. I got things to do. If you could talk within 15 minutes or 15 yards, okay, I got to do something. And like I say, he wasn't rude. It was like, there's a task at hand I have to do. McCoy or maybe these new guys have instilled a different attitude. Like, dude, you guys are always losing. It's time to try something different here. I don't know.
I mean, we're learning about this team, Ira. And one thing we learned at practice today that there were a lot of interceptions. Not a good day for the quarterbacks. Dirk Cutter brought that up. Doesn't mean much this time of year. But Justin Evans spoke to the media, and he said something interesting. Ira, were you standing next to me there? You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
You know, peering at him with the glare of the sage. He said something interesting that he noted how far ahead these rookie corners are from where he was. Now, I followed up with him on that, and he sort of said, well, you know, I was hurt coming in last year. I couldn't get the work in. If you can't get the work, you're behind. But it was a little bit more than that. He was very impressed with sort of how quickly they're grasping everything.
These guys are going to get a full opportunity. Stewart and Davis, they're going to get a great opportunity to showcase their skills, Steve. And if they live up to Jason Light's expectations, who knows? They could be on the field for most of the defensive snaps.
I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, Ira. This is a legitimate question. What team outside the Bucs do young corners have a chance to start with? I mean, when I say start, I'm talking about start week one at New Orleans.
Maybe if you're a first-round pick, if you're a first-round corner. Like
Ward with the Cleveland?
Like Lattimore last year?
Okay.
Who was going to be a starter?
Well, I mean, the Bucs, forgive me if I'm too blunt here, the Bucs corners, if your name is not Brent Grimes, suck. So I would think, you know, rookies coming in, and I mean, your competition is Ryan Smith. What other team has that wide open
Lee,
chance?
I want to remind you, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, management has in no means given up on Vernon Hargreaves.
Oh, no, they haven't.
By no means. You think Jason Light is wants to admit, he's more of a slot corner than an outside? No. I particularly think he's going to be the slot corner. That's my feeling. I don't think he's going to be the starting outside corner opposite Grimes. I think Davis has a very good chance to win that job. But to your point, maybe we'll know the Bucs have arrived the years that rookies are not immediately thrust into the starting lineup, because that's the way it used to be. You were groomed.
You don't need them right away, yeah.
Rondé Barber was groomed. Shelton Quarles was groomed behind guys. And then when they were ready, and they got the field, they were ready.
And I agree with you about Hargreaves. They're going to give him every shot in the world to win that starting job outside corner. And sort of what you also said, you know, people say, oh, Grimes is a slot corner. you don't spend an 11th overall
not,
pick.
Not Grimes, Hargraves. Yeah, yeah.
Did I say Grimes?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I meant Hargraves. Yes, thank you.
You got Miko on your mind. But we understand.
There is a sane general manager, and some would argue a sane general manager doesn't draft a kicker in the second round, but there isn't a sane general manager that drafts a guy 11th overall specifically to play slot. No way.
Steve, I want to reiterate one point before you chime in here. And it's worth repeating.
Can you hold that, Ira, that important point? Can you hold that?
I can hold it.
You sure?
Between my knees, what do you want me to hold?
You can put it wherever you want, Ira. First, before we talk about something very important, but that's why you're holding this, Green Bay drafted two corners very high.
Yeah.
They actually want both of those guys to start, so it should be very interesting there. Anyway, fanretreat.com, Ira, that's what can't wait. That's where you want to go for all of your event tickets across the nation.
Rookies are welcome. Rookies are welcome.
Rookies are welcome
that's
at
right.
fanretreat.com. You can get your concert tickets, your sports tickets, your Buccaneers tickets. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. You can get discount Bucks tickets. You want to go to Tony Dungy night, Monday Night Football right there. You got opportunities. And, of course, if you've used a SeatGeek or other types of sites like that, this is the same thing, except it's easy to use. You can use your Joe Bucks fan discount code, and you can get all your flights, all your hotels. You can just buy a hotel, rent a car, whatever it is. If you want to join the Bourbon Street Takeover, the wild group of Bucks fans heading up to New Orleans, stick carriers, Joe Bucks fan readers, Sage listeners.
I'm trying to get a Buck representative, and don't count me out on doing so.
No one's counting you out. And of course,
don't count me out, Steve.
Ira's talking about the night before. There will be a Bourbon Street Takeover event, fan retreat. It's going to be at a property that we're nailing down the details to roll out, where you're going to talk, Ira, the commish. It gives me a lot of fun. Party.
Food, drinks, food.
Couple of days of partying. A lot of fun.
New Orleans and food go together.
To get all the details, text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That will put you in line for the first to get some of the great discounts that are coming out for that trip, and to make sure you have all the details as they move forward. FanRetreat.com. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Now, you've been sitting on your nugget, Ira.
I'm trying not to forget it, and I'm ready to go. Lee, this might be worth repeating on every podcast going into the season, and I'll say it right here. Look, I'm not over here trying to say Ryan Smith and Vernon Hargraves are going to be the second coming of Mike Haynes, you know, and Lester Hayes. I'm not saying that. And Willie Brown. I'm not saying that. And for our younger fans, Patrick Peterson, you know, and Xavier Rhodes, guys that are playing today. What I am saying is you can't discount the impact, and I asked Justin Evans this today, of a dynamic pass rush on the effectiveness of a secondary. These guys might look very different if quarterbacks can't sit there and, as you've said many times, order a ham sandwich like Drew Brees can, not get their hair mussed. The guy don't even need the guy don't even need a shower half the time. Steve, when the game's over, Matt Ryan, yeah, he goes into his car, takes his tie on, you know, puts his tie on, he's in the parking lot. Those days have to be over. And what I'm saying is, if this overhauled defensive front is as good as advertised, as good as hoped for by Buck ownership, management, and Buck fans, if it is, the Ryan Smiths of the world and Vernon Hargraves, they're going to look a lot better.
And
I've asked Mike Smith in the past, you've heard me, is it hard to evaluate young cornerbacks given a lousy pass rush, an anemic pass rush? I think it makes it harder to evaluate. Now,
that's fair.
I'm not saying that knocked anybody's socks off, but just that pass rush in itself, that's critical.
Well, let's turn the flip side on that, Sage. Let's be thinking men and men here. I was going to say men and women. Let's be thinking
there's
men.
Another side to
I've been
that.
Called worse. Yeah. I'm not going to steal Steve's thunder. Maybe
I think I know what Steve's
going to
say.
Well, the thinking side of this is that, well, if the Bucks didn't believe that they had a couple of garbage cornerbacks out there outside of Grimes, why would they invest two draft picks into premium picks?
Because Grimes isn't going to be around for much longer, and you need three or four corners.
I don't think anybody's suggesting Grimes is an issue.
You know,
I
mean, and they're not overwhelmed at this point with Hargraves and Smith. Nobody said
they can't,
and nobody's going to say they are. Nobody.
I understand, but no one's also telling you, hey, you know what? These guys would have been a lot better. They're good cornerbacks, victimized by a terrible pass rush. No one's told you that.
Well, you don't know that. You can't make that judgment.
Have you heard that with all your good contacts?
Look, these guys are gonna have a lot of chances.
Sure,
I said that they're gonna be given every chance. You know, it's not like there's studs in front of them.
Sure,
and it's a special year, Ira, because Brent Grimes is probably gonna play less in preseason and training camp than anybody could imagine, and gives these guys that much more opportunity.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that much more opportunity.
Proven. I went to a different flip side than what Steve went to. My flip side is, you know, everybody says, oh, the defensive line will make corners better. To a point, a good offensive coordinator can always scheme his way to buy a quarterback an extra second or two. Joe Gibbs was famous for that. Was Sean Payton? No, Sean Payton was not the offensive coordinator. Who was it with the Giants that was offensive coordinator? It was the last time they won a Super Bowl. They're playing the Packers. Best defensive back.
Not Gilbride.
It was Gilbride, wasn't it?
Could have been.
Well, you know, Packers supposedly had this fantastic secondary, and they had a great pass rush. Well, you know what? They schemed time for Eli Manning, and he roasted the Packers. Him and the Burris, they roasted the Packers in Lambeau, one of the few playoff losses in Packers history at home.
It does work the other way. You know, if you cover better, the quarterback's got to hold the ball longer, and you got more of a chance to get there.
Yeah, I mean, they all work together.
But I still think it starts with the front.
It doesn't hurt. There's no question about that. But my contention is, to sum it up quickly, you cannot hide a bad corner in the NFL.
Interesting.
One thing, Ira, I pulled, we had mentioned it before on the podcast. I told you that Vinnie Curry's quite a personality. And I pulled him aside, and he was happy to chat with me after practice.
Did he say, who are you? Did he ask who you are?
I told.
And Steve pulled a Mo Green.
I told him who I was. I told
made
him.
My bones when
you were what cheerleaders.
I talked to him about his pet rooster. That
that's right, the rooster.
You weren't gonna let that go.
Well, right? I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just a gag or something, but no, he had the pet rooster.
You got a photo? You gonna get a photo?
His name was Floss. That was the name of the pet rooster. All right, we're not.
A rooster named Floss, something it can't use.
But he told me something very interesting that was, you know, really kind of encouraging. And it's even more encouraging because it applies to Bo Allen as well. Vinnie Curry explained to me, I asked him about Buckner. I said, hey, you know, you came here, you got on the podium, and you said, look, Buckner, he convinced me to come here. You remember that? He, you know, said, I liked all the stuff he was selling. I had some options. I think it was 7 teams he had options for. Anyway, but he told me, and it applies to Bo Allen, who he played with in Philly, that he has never played for a defensive line coach who played in the league, and that this is a very different experience for him. And he's looked at Buckner film, and that this guy, man, is like nothing he's ever experienced as far as really taking everybody at the same level and the stuff he can teach. And
so Lee says he's got street cred. He's got street cred. And that was a very good defensive line he had.
Yeah, it was.
Very good. They compared themselves with the Bucks. And I don't think that was facetious. It was close.
Didn't Sapp get irritated by that?
Yeah. Sapp got all bent out of shape.
But it's almost...
I was the one who stirred that thing up.
Oh.
I was in Spartanburg talking to those guys.
Well, whenever anybody brings up that defensive line with the Panthers, what springs to mind immediately for me was a game at Raymond James Stadium where I think Julius Peppers got in Kenyatta Walker's head so bad he got like 4-point penalties in a row. It was like either holding or illegal hands to the face. I mean, he was absolutely in Kenyatta Walker's head.
Look, the Bucks had Simeon, and they had Julius Peppers. I mean, that's a wash.
Yeah, as much as you like Simeon Rice,
Now Sapp, and they had Chris Jenkins. Now, Jenkins wasn't Sapp, but he was good.
He was good.
So anyway, I just thought it was very encouraging that Buckner might have the impact that we're hoping. You know, fingers crossed, we're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Right.
But it seems like some of that Kool-Aid is legit. Now, he did tell me, which I think is a little neat little thing you won't hear anywhere else, he told me that Buckner could absolutely still play. And he coaches in a hands-on way where he's out there doing it, and he still has great get-off. And I mentioned to Curry, I didn't bring it up, I mentioned to Curry, I said, hey, I heard an old interview of Buckner a year or two ago where he said, I could still go 15 snaps a game as long as it's a zone blocking team. And Curry said, absolutely, I have no question. He said, it makes a difference. That guy can get out there, and he's not just coaching, he's doing it.
Are you suggesting on the third day of training camp that the stick carriers should have their binoculars on this matchup between Ali Marpet and Princeton Buckner in the trenches? That could be interesting.
That ain't happening.
Well, I've got something you bring up, Ali Marpet. I'm going to bring up something here. And I heard this on NFL Live on ESPN. Your friend Susie Culber. I mean, red zone offense was obviously an issue for the Bucs last year. But she claimed, she had a stat, that the Bucs led the league in fumbled snaps in the red zone last year.
Ooh.
Six. Ali Marpet struggled the first couple games, you know, as in
sure
shotgun.
Did.
And shotgun, he had these looping snaps, and a couple of them went over James's head. I'm just wondering if that is why the Bucs decided, in part, to get Marpet back to guard and go get a center. Your thoughts?
That's good stuff, Lee. Look, how many times did they tell us that this move's going to be permanent? Marpet's going to be a center. He's a fine guard, but we think he's the man at center. And, Steve, you know, Ryan Jensen's available. Doesn't mean you got to go out and get him. If you think Marpet's the center of the future, go get a guard. Or maybe Jensen could play guard. I know he prefers center. But if you give him the money, he'll play guard. If you do. So it is what it is. I think Marpet's back at his natural position where he's got all his experience, and I'm expecting a very good year out of Ali Marpet.
You mean at right guard. Now he's playing left.
Well, he's back at guard.
I'm just teasing you. Yeah. We've been on that merry-go-round before. Sage, we are cutting the podcast short today, but before we hit our final nugget, edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com, all the May offers, it's still May. It's still May when we're listening to this podcast here. Memorial Day's finished, but check out edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com for all the great opportunities. 70-plus years of Ed Morse.
You know what? I'm going to stand for the national anthem. I'm not going to put my fist in the air, and I'm going to have a nice drink of water while I'm standing.
Fist in the air is okay.
Fist in the air is okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but Juan Carlos and the other two guys at the 68 Olympics, I applauded them for what they did, especially given the times that we lived in at the time. You and I lived in. I don't know about him. He won't even say his real birth date. So maybe he wasn't around then.
That was 68, right, Lee?
68 Olympics.
No, not alive then. Not alive.
But they had every right to do what they were doing. They were adjusting what they were doing, but they didn't kneel down.
When I say 68 to Nisbets, you know what he thinks about? The Jets. That was the Jets championship season.
But he wasn't around.
He's not thinking about social activism. That was Joe Namath's year. Oh, we'll go off the field. We're number one.
All right. I don't even know where this. I'm talking Ed Morse Cadillac. You're talking fists in the air.
Who were those guys? You know them. Juan Carlos is one of the names, right?
John Carlos. I'm John sorry. Carlos. Tommy Smith, maybe.
Tommy Smith. That's another one.
Yeah.
I have to be embarrassed, but
I think there were two of them.
I think there were three guys. But there were two on the podium.
I think
won the gold.
The third
guy's
name was Nisbets. Yeah, Yasha Nisbets.
I'll say it. Good night, Ira.
I'm going to find that dance video, Ira.